Someone said to me yesterday, I love your accent. You know, I never noticed I had one. I guess it's because I'm a southerner that I've got such a good accent. I don't know. It's good to be with you this morning, and I believe God's going to bless us. I want to encourage you to be back tonight. When I was in Burlington just over a week ago, I said, well, let's make Monday night the big night, and they did, and we had the biggest turnout of the whole week on Monday evening. Well, I didn't intend that Monday night should be the great target, and then folks would forget it on Tuesday, but Monday is often a difficult evening for getting a congregation together, and I would urge you to be here tomorrow and to bring your friends and then to keep up the same practice throughout the week and be back Tuesday right through to Friday. It would be wonderful to see the chapel full. There's nothing so encouraging to visitors who come in than to see a chapel filled. And it would be great if every one of you would just make a very special effort, perhaps even make a special promise to the Lord Jesus today, that unless anything that is absolutely impossible happens, you'll be here. Perhaps things may crop up which just make it impossible for you to come. But other than that, you'll put aside everything else, and whatever the cost, you'll be here. It will be a cost. It'll be a cost to each of you to be here. Whichever night you come, it always is a cost to be involved in the things of the Lord. But I want to encourage you to come and to bring others with you. And if you can't bring anyone else, don't say what so many Christians say. Well, if I can't take someone who needs the Lord with me, then, well, it's best I stay at home because they don't need me. If every Christian stayed away from meetings when they couldn't bring an unsaved person with them, we would feel their loss, because their presence with us and their prayers are what create the atmosphere for God to work in. And we're looking for you to be here. Well, now this morning we're going to turn to the Old Testament. We're looking at Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read a few verses together. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he is the one that brought us up out of, and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And it was the Lord who drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Verse 22. Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. The Lord will add his blessing to that reading from his precious word. And let us now bow our heads in a moment of prayer as we ask the Lord to guide us in our meditation of this scripture. Our Heavenly Father, we bow for these few moments ere we open the scriptures up together. And we ask that the Holy Spirit will be in complete control. I pray that he may control my thoughts and my words, that all that is said will be honoring to our Lord Jesus. I pray that those who are listening this morning may be given receptive hearts, that the Holy Spirit may work within to give that receptive spirit to the gospel. And we ask this morning that there shall be some who for the first time in their lives will be able to rise up and say, I too will choose this Saviour to be my Saviour and my Lord, and I will follow him and serve him with his help until he comes. May this be so for your glory and for the blessing now and in eternity of those who respond to this message today. We ask it through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Turning then to the 15th verse of Joshua 24, we have this challenge that comes to us. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I want you to notice first of all that this choice is a personal choice. Joshua is speaking to a great company of people that have been gathered together to listen to the last message that he would ever give to the nation. Joshua was old. He knew that the end of his life was fast approaching. He had served God well, and God had used him mightily in leading this nation into the promised land. But now the years of his service were over, and he wanted to bring one last challenge to the people he loved and the people he had served. He had noticed how that they had become involved with the strange gods of the land into which they had come. He had noticed that there had been a drifting through the years of their commitment and their sincerity in following after the Lord. His heart was grieved as he saw so little commitment to the God who had brought the people out of Egypt. And so, now in his old age, he has gathered the people together, and with this last great moment in his life, he asked the people to make a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We all know how important decision making is. We make decisions every day of our lives about scores of things. We make decisions in the morning as to what we're going to wear as we go off to school or college or work. We make decisions as to what we're going to eat when we come down to the breakfast table, whether we're going to eat or whether we're going to decline from eating. And so each day is made up of a round of decision making. It's just fantastic when you look back through a day and try to summarize the day and how many decisions have been made throughout that day. And the decisions we make affect our day for good or ill. And the decisions we make affect other people for good or ill. But our life is made up of a round of decision making. Now here then we are brought to see that the decisions about spiritual things and eternal things cannot be made by anybody else but ourselves. As much as we are loved by others, not one of them can make a decision about our eternal future. Not one of them. They can pray for us. They can plead with us. But if we are ever to be a committed Christian, rather than a nominal Christian, if we are ever going to be in God's home, heaven, it will be because we ourselves make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. We'll never get there because others long for us to be there. We'll never be there simply because they prayed for us to be in the family of God or in heaven. We will only be in God's home eternally, and will only be a true Christian if we make our choice for God. Joshua himself told the people, "As for me and my house, our commitment is made, our decisions have been made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I'd like to think briefly upon that statement of Joshua, because it does show to me that the decisions that are made within our house largely depend upon the decisions made by the leader of the house. God has placed every father within the house as a priest within his family. And although, of course, he may make the wisest and the best of decisions, it will not mean that all of his family will necessarily follow in his footsteps. But this I can assure you, that if the head of the house does not act responsibly before God and does not himself make a right decision for God and for Christ, it is very unlikely that his family will make right decisions. And even if you have made the Lord Jesus your Savior, if you are not living as the head of your family, showing to the whole family that he is Lord of your life, you will probably never see your children take a step beyond a commitment to Christ which lacks lordship. And really, true Christianity cannot be divorced from the lordship to Christ. There's so much preaching about letting the Lord Jesus Christ into one's heart, as if all one has to do is to run from the terrors of judgment and ask Jesus to be your Savior, and that is becoming a Christian. If you'll read in the New Testament, you'll find that Christians are those who have Christ as their Lord. And we need to preach a great deal more about the lordship of Christ in our gospel meetings rather than in our ministry meetings. For those who came to know Jesus as their Savior first acknowledged that he was Lord and bowed to him as Lord and owned him as Savior. Now in our homes, Christ should be Lord. Lord of every part of our home life. And the one who sets the pattern in the home should be the husband, should be the father. Sometimes if there is a husband who is not spiritually committed and has not owned Jesus as Lord, the responsibility lays heavily upon a wife to take on the role which the husband himself should carry. And that is a sad, sad moment in any family life. And certainly, if there's a husband here today who does not carry that role sincerely as priest in the home and leader spiritually in the home, may I remind you, the day is coming, if you're a Christian, that you're going to meet the Lord Jesus face to face at the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to give an account. But it may be long before that. You will have many regrets that through those years in your home, when your children were growing up around you, you failed to be Lord. Joshua says, "As for me," there had not been a moment in Joshua's life when he had compromised. When he and Caleb come back and all the other spies were saying things to the contrary, they would not compromise. They were committed to God, committed to him who was their Lord. And Joshua did not compromise, and thus he was able to say in his old age, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a blessed thing it is to come to the mature years of our lives as father or as parent and be able to say as we look back, "As for me and my house, we have served the Lord." No regrets. No regrets. Is there someone I'm speaking to this morning already feels a sense of regret? Because the things of this world have been more important to you than the things of eternity? And maybe even this morning as you sit and listen, you are recalling the attitudes of perhaps even your children, and know that they are reflecting the attitude of your own life and the lack of commitment in your own life. Rise up and be men of God and make a right choice this morning to put Christ at the center of your heart, at the center of your work, at the center of your home, at the center of your living. As for me and my house. But as he speaks and gives his own testimony, he says, now you choose. Individually out there in this great congregation, he says, individually you choose. It's a personal commitment. A personal commitment. So someone here this morning has never really personally made Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior. You know all about the cross. You've grown up learning about the cross. You've grown up singing hymns about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. You've grown up familiar with the things concerning his death and resurrection. But have you ever opened your own heart to him, where he has become your own Savior and Lord? Does he reign in your heart this morning? Boys and girls, is he Lord of your lives? Does he live in your heart? Do you love him with all your heart and soul? Do you feel you just want to live for him because he died in such agony upon a cross for you? Have you made your personal choice? Then Joshua says, choose you today. There isn't a place in the Bible where we're told that tomorrow is the time to consider salvation, or tomorrow is the time to consider commitment to God. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Boys and girls, teenagers, and men and women today, harden not your heart to the message which the Holy Spirit is bringing to your heart this morning. Don't let it harden. Let it be softened by the Spirit of God so that Jesus Christ may be welcomed into your heart. Choose you today. Why is there this tremendous emphasis in the Word of God about salvation being accepted today? Today being salvation's time. Well, there's a number of reasons, and we'll be dealing with some of them much more fully during the coming week. Tomorrow night, for instance, we'll be talking about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in relationship to the gospel. So tomorrow night's message will be based on that. But I want briefly to mention it now, because that is one of the main reasons why we should choose the Lord Jesus today. Because his coming may be before tomorrow. We talk much about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and sometimes we get so accustomed to it that we do not realize how important it is to be saved before the Lord comes. But I see no reason at all why the Lord should not come before I preach this evening. I see no reason at all why he should not come before this meeting closes this morning. If the Lord Jesus came back, if the trumpet sounded, if we were caught up as believers to meet the Lord, how many of you would be left sitting in this chapel this morning? Would you? Would you be left here while the other believers were gone? Because it is true that Jesus is not Lord and Savior in your life this morning. Many of you know as much about the gospel as I do. But has the Lord Jesus been received by you personally? Have you repented of all those sins which sent him to the cross? Have you asked his forgiveness and cleansing through that precious blood? Don't hide away from this question. If the Lord came before this service finished this morning, how many of you would be left seated in this chapel alone? One here and there, another at the back, and the chapel empty because believers have been taken instantly into glory. Would you be going to heaven if the Lord came this morning? You'll have no other opportunity of being saved. There will be people saved after the Lord has come, but not one person who has ever heard the gospel will ever have a second opportunity to hear it. This is the day of salvation. Are you saved? What an awful thing it would be to be sitting here and saying this morning, I knew as much as those who've gone to heaven, but I never trusted Christ. I was afraid to make him Lord of my life at school. I wouldn't give him the place in my life that he had the right to, because I was scared of committing myself to Christ and going back to college and showing that Christ was my Savior. I wasn't prepared to go back to work and live amongst my colleagues and work with them, owning that Jesus was Lord. Then, my friend, if you won't make him Lord and Savior, you may well be eternally lost. There's another reason why you should receive him this morning. Choose you this day whom you shall serve. That is because of the uncertainty of our own lives. Two men came to our meetings in the heart of London. We often hold big rallies there. We were in the Empire Pool, Wembley. It was a very big meeting. I think that particular evening there were 10,000 people there, but the Lord blessed in that meeting and many were saved. And I tell you the story of two men that came. One man who had been burdened for a long time for his colleague at work, pleaded with him to come to the meeting and was so overwhelmed with joy that his colleague decided to come. They sat through the meeting, and when I made an appeal for those who would come to the Lord Jesus and own him as their Savior to walk to the front and stand quietly as a witness to their willingness to accept Christ as Lord, the one man who was a Christian said to his friend, the unsaved man, would you like to go down the front and accept Christ as your Savior? If you'd like to, I'll walk down with you. And the unsaved man said very rudely to his friend, no, I would not. He said, when I decide to become a Christian, I will become a Christian in my own time and in my own way. Those were the last words he spoke about spiritual matters. They left Wembley, that great Empire Pool, made their way by underground train across the city of London. They came to the station just under Westminster, where the Houses of Parliament are, and they came up the steps out of that station, and before they'd reached the top steps, the man who had said not more or not less than a half hour before, when I come to Christ, I will come to him in my own time and my own way. That man dropped dead on the steps of that station. Not one of us here this morning should assume that we will be here tomorrow. Death is no respecter of persons. Death takes children. Death takes teenagers. Death takes young men and old men. Death is no respecter of persons. A year ago, I conducted the funeral service of my own granddaughter, just 3 and a half. You know that death is no respecter of persons. Not one of us knows when God may call us into eternity. We should never assume that we've years to go. Never. We should live every day as if tomorrow or even today we may have to meet him, our God. That's why it's so important to know the Lord Jesus as our own personal Savior. That's why it's so important to have all our sins washed away. That's why it's so important to be sure that when he calls, we shall step into the glories of heaven and be at home with Jesus who loved us and died for us. None of us can be sure of tomorrow. Not one of us. You've invited me here for a series of meetings. I have no guarantee I'll preach again after this particular message. But I'm prepared to meet my Lord. Are you? Are you really ready? Could you really say this morning that you know that if Jesus were to call you, whatever your age, you would go straight to be with him in heaven? Are you sure of it? Are you at peace in your innermost being? Don't assume that you're going to have forever to make decisions about spiritual things. Today! Choose you today! And the Lord may have brought me here and may have brought you to listen to me this morning because this is His great moment for your life. There may never be for someone here this morning another moment when God will speak to you as He's going to now. And that brings me to the third reason why you should accept Him today. Because no one ever has accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior or acknowledged Him as their Lord, except it was because the Holy Spirit drew them. You can't come to God when you feel like it. That man said, I'll come in my own way and in my own time. There's only one way to God. It's through faith in the Lord Jesus. It's through accepting the cleansing of the precious blood. And you don't possess time. We don't control time. Time is borrowed. It is God who controls our lives and time. The Holy Spirit is the one who touches our hearts to draw us. Maybe this morning there's a heart that's been touched as never before. You're thinking now as you haven't before. You've been careless before. You've been able somehow, you hardly know how, but you've been able to dismiss the preachers who've challenged you. But somehow you feel at this moment that God is speaking to you, and He is, and He's speaking to you through His Spirit. There may never be another moment like this as long as ever you live. This is the moment that the Holy Spirit is touching your conscience, touching your emotions, touching your will, and showing you today that this is the time that you should repent, that you should receive the Lord Jesus' forgiveness, that you should own Him as your Lord and follow Him for the days to come. My Spirit will not always strive with men. What if His Spirit should not strive with you after today? You could hear a million gospel messages and not one of them would bring you to the cross or to Christ. We only come to Christ when the Holy Spirit draws us. Listen then in these closing moments, because the Holy Spirit is going to work. The second thing I want to show you is that this one that Joshua sets before the people is worthy of a right decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The call was to acknowledge and to serve the Lord. Now, in the terms of the New Testament and the Gospel, it brings us face to face with the Lord Jesus. Who is worthy of our acceptance of Him? Who is worthy that we should follow Him more than Jesus Christ? What a wonderful Savior. I think some of us get so accustomed to the gospel that we lose the wonder of His life and the reason why He is worthy to be accepted as Lord. This one who was found cradled in Mary's arms and found nestled in the hay of a manger is the Creator of the universe. The Bible lays this out so clearly. You and I need to grasp this. The vastness of this universe. We're all familiar in our minds of the insignificance of this little planet compared with the rest of our solar system. It's so small. It's so unimportant. We know how tiny this little globe is compared with the sun. And we're told that there is one of the spheres in the distant space that has been traced, which is 2,500 times bigger than the sun. And when we begin to take in the vastness of the universe, we have to ask, who created it? And the Bible says Jesus did. The Lord Jesus Christ created everything that is in the entire universe. and he holds it together by his will and his hand. Yet he who is so great and so powerful, so majestic and so glorious, became a little baby and grew up to manhood that he might die to give you everlasting life. Isn't it incredible that the creator of the universe would allow those whom he had created to spit in his face? Can you imagine this? The Son of God, the one whom all the angels and cherubims and seraphims of heaven worshipped before he became a man, they fell at his feet and worshipped him. And yet, he was willing to come and let men spit on him. They took their hands and with open hands they smote him round the face. The Bible says they even clenched their fists and smote him in the face until his face was so disfigured you wouldn't have known he was a man. Do you know some people still treat him like that? Do you know your being here this morning in this chapel does not mean that you are not in your own heart still treating him in exactly the same way? I used to sit in meetings like this in my youth, and in my heart was the same. To sit upon the Savior, and the same spirit that hoisted him upon a cross to die. I knew what it was to have bitter feelings, not soft and warm feelings toward the Savior in my youth. And your being here this morning, having come week by week to Bible class and Sunday school, or coming week by week to worship, does not mean that your heart is surrendered to the Lord Jesus. Isn't he wonderful that he has patience like he has? It's what overwhelms me when I look back to my youth and my conversion, that he had the patience with me. I'm glad that he did. But I can't say that I can guarantee that you will have a like experience that I had. Oh, my friend, he's worthy that you should worship him. He came from heaven's glory, the Son of God. And he humbled himself to be humiliated by men. And in Gethsemane's garden, the creator of the universe, the Son of God, knelt in prayer, prostrated himself in the garden, and in his agony as he faced the cross, he sweat drops of blood falling to the ground. Oh, I wish you could have seen him there. I wish you could look in this morning through the eye of faith and see the Lord Jesus, the creator of the universe, bathed in blood, the perspiration as he groans and agonizes before the cross. Bring sweat, a sweat of blood that falls to the ground. I wish you could see him in the judgment hall as they mock him and crown him with thorns. Oh, friend, this morning he loved you enough to die for you. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. He said, I lay down my life myself. There was no pressure upon the Lord Jesus to die for you and me. He loves the human race in all its sins. He wants to save us from the emptiness of our wasted lives. He wants to save us from an eternity in hell. He loves us. And bearing shame and scoffing rude, in our place condemned he stood. He sealed our pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What a Savior. Don't you love him? Have you ever asked him to be Lord of your life? Have you ever asked him to cleanse away your sin? Have you ever asked him to come and live within your life? He's worthy. He's worthy. Angels say he's worthy. Cherubims say he's worthy. Men and women who have been saved by grace and surround the throne in heaven cry from their hearts, He's worthy, worthy, worthy to receive honor and blessing and glory, might and power. Have you given Him that worthy place upon the throne room of your heart? Do you love Him? Do you honor Him? Have you received Him? Have you made Him your Lord and your Savior? He's worthy. He died for you in agony upon a cross. He rose to be your Lord and Savior. And in great love, He's come to you this morning to say, trust me. A wrong decision about Him will be disastrous in this life. Some of us don't realize just how empty life can be. As I started out in my teens, I never realized that so soon I would realize the emptiness of a life without Christ. I found every single thing I got involved in let me down and failed me. Nothing satisfied, nothing pleased me. My life was empty because Jesus wasn't there. There's somebody here this morning with a miserably empty life. You've been fighting against the Lord. You've been trying to keep Him from the throne of your heart. You've been trying to keep Him from being your Lord and Savior, and you're too proud to confess it. But inside of you there's an emptiness, there's an aching, there's a void. You know you need the Lord. Let go of your pride and lay hold of Jesus while there's time, for tomorrow, for one of you, might be too late. Lastly, let us look at two thoughts that come in the 23rd verse. For those now who have listened to Joshua's challenge, and for those who are going to make a commitment, a response to the Lord of Joshua, there are two things Joshua says. Now therefore put away and incline your heart unto the Lord. Nobody will ever know the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus. Nobody will ever know the peace and joy of the Lord Jesus in their heart. Nobody will ever go to heaven unless they turn their back on the life they have lived without Christ and turn to face Him and to live the life He offers. Therefore, He says, put away. Turn your back upon the life you've been living. For the Lord is worthy that you face Him and live for Him. It's not easy being a Christian. If you want an easy life, if you don't have the courage to stand up for truth and righteousness and honesty and God, then you'll remain a non-Christian. It's not easy being a Christian. It's not easy at school. It's not easy at college. It's not easy at work. It's not easy anywhere being a Christian. But I tell you this, even when the challenge and the pressure is on you, you'll know the presence of the Lord Jesus bringing to your life a sense of peace and fulfillment and joy. It's wonderful having Christ as your Savior. I took Him into my heart at 18, bowed my life before Him then, and have never once in all my life regretted having Christ as my Lord. I've been under pressures, every kind of pressure. I've never, never, never been dissatisfied with Jesus. Never wished He were not my Lord. Oh, I love Him. Every day I'm more thankful that I'm a Christian. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. He'll never disappoint you, never fail you, never let you down. But you'll never know His Lordship and His cleansing and His forgiveness in your life until you are prepared to say no to the old life which has dominated. We have to turn our back on the way we have been going, and we have to face the Lord Jesus and say, I'm willing, whatever the cost, to know Your power, Your forgiveness, Your love in my life. I am then to turn away from how I have lived. Are you prepared to do that? Is that what stumbles you? Is it because you love things you're now committed to in your life that you will not allow the Lord Jesus to be your Lord. Those things will take you to judgment and eternal loss. And so I beg of you to incline your heart unto the Lord. Son, give me your heart, is the word of Scripture. Isn't that what the Lord longs for this morning? Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Let me reign within your heart. Let me come and cleanse you from every sin. Let me be your Savior and your Lord. Son, daughter, give me your heart. We need to incline our heart unto the Lord, and we need to obey his voice. I'm going to ask you this morning to obey the voice of the Lord. I'm not going to ask you to emotionally do that, because it wouldn't last further than that door if you emotionally responded to Christ. I'm going to ask you this morning because in the depths of your heart you know firstly this. Although you are familiar with the gospel, you have never really known Christ as your own Lord and Savior. You know about him, but you're saying now, I don't know him. He is not my own Lord. One then, I'm going to ask you this morning to be honest and say, up until this moment of time, he has not been my Lord and my Savior. I'm going to ask you now, this morning, to respond from your own heart and your own will to Christ and say, Lord, if you died on that cross for me, paid such a price to redeem me, and you love me so dearly, I want to come this morning and I want to yield my heart and my soul and my life to you. I'm going to ask you this morning, quietly and reverently, to yield your whole life to the Lord Jesus. He said, if you will come to me, I won't turn you away. And the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for you, is waiting here to receive you. Joshua said, choose today whom you're going to serve. He knew that the Lord was waiting for them. All they had to do was to make their decision to cut from their old life, to bring their life to the Lord, and the Lord would receive them. And I know that Christ will receive you this morning. Now, wherever I preach, I always ask folk to come publicly to Christ. Not that it's important in that sense. Many people come to Christ in a way that is not public, but if you read the Scriptures, you'll find every time that Christ ever challenged anybody, he challenged them publicly. And I'm going to ask, as I do in every meeting that I hold wherever I travel, that if there's a boy, a girl, a man or woman, or a young person this morning who knows that the Lord has spoken to you, and I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat, and I'm going to ask you in a moment to walk down the outside or the center aisle and just come quietly and stand facing this table here. I'm going to ask you to come and stand there. It's your way of saying to the Lord Jesus this morning, Lord Jesus, I choose you to be my Lord and my Savior. I come to you and ask you to accept me and forgive me. You can go home this morning with every sin pardoned and cleansed. You can go home this morning with the Lord Jesus Christ reigning as Lord in your heart. You can go home a changed person if you will say yes to his love and repent of your sins and ask him to be Lord and Savior of your life. Nobody's too young to respond in that way. Nobody. Nobody too old. There may be a grandparent here who should come. But I believe God has spoken to you this morning, and I believe you should come. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of people this year come down the aisle of a tent or a chapel to say yes to Christ. What about you? Will there ever be another meeting like this where God will speak to your heart? Maybe not. This is your moment with the Lord, and I'm going to ask you this morning to respond to his call. We're going to sing our closing hymn, 373, Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, And That You Bid Me Come To Thee, O Lamb of God, I Come. Don't let fear keep you. Don't let pride keep you. This will probably be the hardest thing you've ever done in all your life, to publicly stand and walk down here and say this morning, I will not leave this chapel until Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Come this morning. You won't stand here alone. There are those who will come down and stand beside you. Believers will come down. They'll have a word with you before you leave. This is the greatest moment, perhaps, of your whole life. You come this morning and say, yes, Lord Jesus, I need you. Please accept me and forgive me and bring me into the blessings of your salvation. You come and stand to sing. Don't wait. Coming on the first verse may help somebody else to come who's hesitant. Just come right now, quietly and reverently. People will let you by. They'll step out of the way and let you pass. If you want a friend that's next to you to walk with you, ask them. They'll come down with you. They gladly do that. You come to Christ now.